Tonight we are looking at keeping the Sabbath day holy, and we're reading from Genesis 1, verse 1, up to Genesis 2, verse 4a. And we're also reading from the Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. Genesis 1, verse 1, so up to 2, verse 4a, and the Lord's Day, question 103, Lord's Day 38. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let it be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters on the heavens gather together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered he called sea. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which their seeds, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon earth." And it was so. God made the two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth, to rule over the day, over night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of the living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves, with which the water swarms, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the seas, let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creeping things, beasts of the earth, according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created man. Male and female He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heavens, and over every living thing that moves on earth. And God said, Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that's on the face of all the earth. Every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. To every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heaven, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished His work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. These are the generations of heavens and the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens. Our focus text tonight, we look at verse 2 and 3 of chapter 2. And on the seventh day God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. We also read from the Lord's Day 38, Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 103. It's in the green book on page 47. The Creeds, Confessions, and Liturgical Forms book. Lord's Day 38, page 47, question and answer 103. What is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? First, that a gospel ministry and education for it to be maintained, and that especially on a festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we look at the Bible, we notice that there's two important focuses regarding the fourth commandment. First of all, the Bible calls the Church of Jesus Christ and each of us to keep this day holy, which implies diligently coming together to hear the Word of God, to use the sacraments and bring lovingly gifts, Christian gifts, to the poor. The second focus of the Bible that is clear is that we will rest every day from our evil deeds, evil ways, by the working of the Lord's Spirit in us, and start our eternal Sabbath. But if we want to understand how the Bible builds or shows these important concepts, we need to start at the beginning of the Bible. If we want to understand where Genesis 2 verse 1 to 4 and especially verse 2 and 3 comes from, we need to understand how it stands in connection to Genesis 1. What happens in Genesis 1 that has this important focus on the seventh day in Genesis 2? In Genesis 1, it is explained in elaborate detail how God created heaven and earth in six literal days. He created space and time in which existence is made possible. He created the content. He created the plants, the animals, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created man who will exist in this space and time. God's focus is man himself. God's focus is the man as the crown of his creation in the image of God, as we read in Genesis 1. The time and the space are created for man. All these things together, God declared at the end of the sixth day, he declared it was very good. God's creation is a masterpiece flowing from the hand of the Creator, of the Maker, of the Lord. The command of God to man we found in Genesis 1 verse 28. Please read with me. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant-eating seal that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. Man is created dominant over the animals and the plants of this world. Man should multiply on this earth. He should subdue the creation God made. He should till the land. He should work the land that God created. Brothers and sisters, it is precisely at this point, in this time, that the rest of man comes in. After 6 days of creation, God looked back from his seventh day with satisfaction at his handiwork. The seventh day is a day that's created to be a joyous day, a day of peace, a day of non-work, a day of satisfaction with the work that has already been done the previous week. The seventh day is the climax concerning the work that has been done. We read in Genesis 2, verse 1 to 2, the following. Read again with me. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. The question immediately in our heads is, why do God need to rest? Do God rest because he is tired of creating for 6 days and working hard for 6 days in creation, in creating the creation? No. God is an unlimited being. God don't need rest. So what does it mean when it says God rested on the seventh day from all the work that he has done? God's rest must be understood as satisfaction. Because of the creation of 6 days is completed, God rested from the effort of the work, but he didn't rest from the effort of the work. He is satisfied with the work that has been done. He has got satisfaction in it. He says, it's very good. The rest in the original language means Shabbat. And the meaning of this word means to stop work, to stop activity or task as prescribed by the Lord. After 6 days of creation, God was finished. His work was finished of creation. Friends, already at this point, if we understand that the rest that God had rested is satisfaction, it already says something to us as men. What do God expect from us as men? If God's rest indicates satisfaction on this day, man must also show satisfaction with the work that has been done the previous week. Man's satisfaction in his work and with his work lies in the fact that he's not a slave of his work. God gave man a day and a time he can stop his work and look back at the previous week and say it was work well done. But it's also a day that reminds us of the work that is done, and that the work is not an idol to us. It reminds us that we worship a God who is in control and who governs everything on this earth. The Sabbath day is a day of spiritual remembrance to us. It's a day of worshiping the Lord and the Creator of heaven and earth that sustains our lives, that bring true peace to our hearts. It's also a physical day of rest, as we see in Exodus 23. Second thing we importantly must say to each other in this day is, this day is also fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his works that he had done in creation." What do we mean when we say God sanctified the day or made it holy? What does it mean in the Hebrew in original language? In original language it means to put it to one side, to put it aside, to put aside, to have time to think about your Creator, to thank your Creator, to put aside the normal work that we are normally doing, to be able to have time to glorify God and remember Him, to rejoice ourselves in this time in the Lord our God. So important to see that God has put a day aside for us to rest in Him. God's blessing of this day stands in direct opposition to the curse of this day. To understand the blessing and the curse fully, we must consider the conditions before the fall and after the fall. Before the fall, the whole of creation was under the blessed hand of God. After the fall, after men were falling in sin, because of the sin of man, the earth was placed under the curse of God. Under the curse of God, only by hardship and hard work will man be able to eat from the land. Let us read Genesis 3, verse 17 to 19 together. Genesis 3, verse 17 to 19. "And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of. Listen to this. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field." Verse 19. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." After the fall, the land, the creation, is cursed by God. Man will only survive by hard labor. Only then will it be possible for man to make a living. The blessing of the seventh day stands in direct opposition to the curse of hardship. So how did the blessing of this day find its culmination in the fact that we have peace and rest in God and in Christ alone? The combination between the earth that was cursed and the fact that man could only eat by hard work created the impression with man that he should work permanently. We've got this concept that if we work permanently, we can make a lot of money and then we can look after our family quite good. But God says, no, we don't need to work permanently. Why? Because He is our Father. He will look after us. He will care for us. The effects of the fall and sin itself forces a person to do his day job with great effort. But it has also the danger of man thinking he should work permanently. In this regard, our sin let us easily forget who is in control. It let us forget that God really cares for us.
that he takes care of us, that he is the provider for us. Jesus came precisely to sort out the idols in our hearts. The idols that think we need to work permanently. The idols that trust on ourselves instead of trusting in God and in His providence and in His care for us. He came to restore the relationship with God our Father so that we can call God our Father. In and through this relationship we acknowledge Him as the God who provides for us. So the blessing of this day has its deepest meaning in the fulfillment in Christ. He that brings true peace to our hearts concerning our physical labor. We still have to work daily. And it's still hard work to work daily. We understand it. We go to work every day. We see we need to work hard to get to survive on this earth. But, and this is the important part, through Jesus Christ and through His redemption, we know that God is our Father, the one who provides for us each day. He came and through His salvation, He shattered our strife for greed and honor and prestige and wealth. He broke our idols. He brought true peace with Himself. We have 6 days to work, and that is enough. We can easily rest. We can easily take a day off and put a day aside to use this time to come together as fellow believers. We can easily use this time to praise God Almighty. All of this is possible because of Christ. And through Him, we acknowledge God as our Father who is in control. God makes it clear that our rest can only be found in Christ. We listen to Hebrew 4. Listen to Hebrew 4 again. It's so important to hear it. Hebrew 4 verse 3. For we have believed in enter that rest, as He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although His works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. Verse 5, and again in this passage He said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, He appoints a certain day, today, saying, through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever, listen to this, has entered God's rest, has also rested from His works, as God did from His. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but are all naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So important to hear it. So then there remains a Sabbath, verse 9, rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from His works, as God did from His. Friends, there's another aspect to remember in this evening. The Holy Spirit also works in us and makes this truth, the truth that God is in control and our Father, a reality every day in our lives. He compels us to do good works to the glory of God. Thus we already are starting to have our eternal Sabbath rest, the eternal assurance that God is our Father in which we find true peace and rest. The holiness of this day is to come together and diligently praise His name. It's a day we are reminded anew from God's word
that through the teaching and the preaching, that our true eternal rest is only to be found in Him. How should we keep this day? To keep this day in such a manner that others can see Christ's redemption in us, but also can say we are seeing it in your lives. But even more important, we find our eternal rest in Him. We do not idolize our jobs. We're not slaves of our work. We are children of God. And we find our rest in Jesus Christ. We see that in Matthew 28. It's so clear in Matthew. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, said Jesus, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We must see this day as a blessing, not as a curse. For everyone who believes in Christ will see this day as a blessing. We also want to allow others to rest on this day. How important is it that if we rest on this day, we are also allowing others to see and to rest in this day. We are allowing others to importantly to find their rest in Christ and not in their work, because we are not encouraging them to work. So let us conclude and apply this practically tonight. How do we practically keep the Sabbath day holy? First of all, we go to church with other church members, with our congregation, to worship God, to commemorate our salvation in Christ. We praise Him for the great salvation that we have in Him. We are strengthened by using the sacraments. We rest assured that He brought us eternal rest. We also physically rest on this day. We are created to be unlimited beings. We need rest. We realize that this day is a day we do not have to work because we have eternal rest in Christ. We do not idolize our work. We want to put our hope and our confidence in God alone for our care each day. We flee from things like greed and our strife for money. We want to bear fruits on this day of gratitude that flows from our conversion. We want to point our salvation to Christ. We want to give others the rest they deserve also on this day. Not only physically, but we want to remind them that the only rest is in Jesus Christ alone. We pray that through the work of the Holy Spirit, He will give them, those who still work on this day, new hearts to believe in Jesus Christ alone, to give them rest in Him. We look forward with a longing of this day to the return of the Messiah, when God will take all our sins away and the consequences of the fall and give us and we will live on a new earth and a new heaven will emerge. We build the kingdom of God, not our earthly kingdom, by resting Christians vary from people around. For someone building an empire on earth, it is madness to rest. For Christians, it is our trust in our Creator. If we go to people outside and tell them, you must rest another day, it will be madness to them. They will say, how can you rest? There's more time to make more money, to be greedy. But we say no. Our rest is in Christ alone. Our focus is on the kingdom of God alone. Our trust is in God alone, who is our Creator. Go and know that Christ has, by His life and His death and His resurrection, overcome your idols and ensure true peace and faith in Him. Go and use this day of rest that God has graciously given to you in such a manner that you will glorify His name every moment of it. Go and proclaim Christ's grace, not only in words, but in obedience and in faithfulness to God by resting from your daily tasks on this day and be an example to the people outside. Amen. Let us pray.